Blog Talk Radio.
To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the house Negro and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, "We got a good house here," the house Negro said, "Yeah, we got a good house here." Whenever the master said "we," he said "we." That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick." He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, "Let's run away, let's escape, let's separate," that house Negro would look at you and say, "Man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this?" That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. The air date of this episode is July 6, 2021. Tonight, folks, we're having an in-depth conversation in regards to the Chauvin and Cosby cases. The question is, was justice served in both cases? Chauvin committing a state-sanctioned murder and Cosby being falsely accused of violating women. First point, Chauvin committing his crime motivated by hate. Two, Cosby being falsely accused by females who are trying to advance their careers through extortion. This episode is for those 18 years of age and over. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, as we know of what's currently going on, you know, with the Derek Chauvin case, he was sentenced, I believe, on three counts, you know, to about 20 years. So quite natural, of course, they're going to have, his lawyers try to break it down, if not try to get him acquitted. And, of course, we do know what happened with Dr. Bill Cosby, where he was released from the Pennsylvania State Penitentiary. And as we had stated on Frontline Black News on our streamline, is that Mr. Cosby was the first black male to have a starring role in the 1960s on a television series called I Spy. Dr. Cosby was an educator. Dr. Cosby was trying to do positive things for the black youth. Even when he had the Cosby Show, he had had a spinoff of it called A Different World. And based on research that I've done, is that a lot of our black students had a higher enrollment in colleges when the series was on. But however, we all do know the last series of A Different World, where they took it off, where you had Sister Soldier on there, you know, very, very brilliant young woman. And this is right after the verdict in Los Angeles, California, in which four Los Angeles police officers were acquitted for beating Mr. Rodney King, hitting him with a baton 52 times. But I'm introducing our anchor command, the one and only Mr. Brother Ramel with understanding. Come on with it, Brother Ramel. How you be this evening, sir?
Salute, my brother. It's a pleasure and honor to be here right now. You know, I'm representing. I'm feeling good. I'm just like, I don't understand why we can't find justice in the world. And, you know, we deserve justice. Bill Cosby, he got a piece of justice, but at first he was a victim of injustice because that man did not do those crimes. And the reason, correct me if I'm wrong, brother, he was going to buy NBC.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, he was getting ready to buy NBC. So they took that as an opportunity to smudge his reputation and to to destroy the black image, you know. Because,
yes, sir,
and
particularly,
you know,
the strong black man, you know, in the household. Okay, and then also...
Because that was America's dad, man. That was America's dad,
exactly.
Brother.
Exactly, yes, sir. And then I did notice that when you had a television series called Good Times, starring John Amos, who was a strong black male figure in the household as well, too. So they are most definitely, you know, trying their utmost, man, you know, to prevent this type of figures of being in a black male household. So therefore, that the black male will come up, he'll go on either one of three places, as we all know, being incarcerated, being dead, or being effeminized. And then, of course, all of our, how should I say, civil rights icons, you know, who are in the legislature and what have you. And I see we got the one and only Miss Seduction Doll in a queue, and I believe her last four is 4185. Your mic is on mute. Are you there?
Yes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Peace and love. I'm in the building.
Yes, ma'am. All right. I appreciate you very much. So, and then, of course, we do see 818, which sounds like Southern California. And then I see another 720 number. Just simply press 1, you know, and we'll unmute your mic, you know, and by all means, you know, feel free to speak. Okay. So, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, once again, I cannot emphasize it enough. It is us to take care of us. Okay, now I'm looking over mainstream media. Then they talking about this stuff about what are they calling this garbage, man, about white supremacy or critical race theory or some nonsense like that, you know what I mean? And then on top of it, too, you know, it's a big snowball to prevent our children from learning the true history of the brutalization. Also, too, I see area code 818 here. They unmuted their mic. Last four is 1329. Okay, 818, 1329. We're trying to get you in here. Okay, your mic is unmuted. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Relentless Flamin Brewster, former heavyweight champion of the world.
Oh, thank you for calling
Welcome.
In, champ. Thank you so very, very, very much. You know what I'm saying? Thank
Welcome,
you so
brother.
Very much. Yeah, and that is the former heavyweight champ, ladies and gentlemen, and he has scored the quickest knockout in heavyweight boxing history, and I believe it was under 90 seconds. Okay, champ, so what do you got to say about all this current stuff that is going on, you know, with the Chauvin situation and Dr. Cosby being falsely accused?
So, you know, man, you know my stand. I believe 100% in the prophecy that we've been taught that it's religion, but it was made into a religion. It was only given to one people, and what was given to one people was a prophecy that told storyline, but other people took it and stole it and put their names to it and their faces to it, and then they beat us and gave us names so we couldn't recognize that it was really about us, because they suffered from the highest skin cancer in the entire world. So we know those people ain't from that part of the world, and the scientist has proven who we are by blood, E1B1A. But the point I'm trying to make is everything that you guys are saying, I recognize it according to thus saith the Lord, because this is what God said was going to happen. He said we wouldn't go
yes,
have
sir.
Leaders. That's why everybody that we ever looked up to taken away from us, God said that they was going to be allowed to do this. Matter of fact, one of the things that I'm waiting for some preacher to please have a conversation with me to tell me why you preach prosperity when God said He's going to refine us not with silver, but with the furnace of affliction. So he's saying all his people, he's going to make them go through something. But you go in church and he's like, give me some money and God going to bless you. So that leads to the pastors misleading the sheep. And so we're trying to figure out what's going on today. But the Bible says, he said there's nothing new under the sun. And all we got to do is look back to see everything that's right in front of us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree with you on that there, champ. You absolutely are correct. And then keep in mind that we are a spiritual people by nature. And then, of course, you know, that's these other groups, you know, that they hate us, you know, in my 60-plus years being here, from my observation, and please correct me if I'm wrong. And this is why I definitely appreciate, you know, our supporters and callers and calling in and dropping knowledge, because I'm not the most brilliant as so-and-so it is, you know what I mean? But I don't think I'm too stupid either. You know. Yeah.
Humble brother right there. Humble brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then,
I just want to say this, and I'm going to be quiet. If you understand the scriptures, he said, I only gave my spirit to the people I made my covenant with. The only people he made his covenant with that was in the desert when he was coming out of Egypt, those people are the only people he ever made a covenant with. You can't find nowhere in any book where God say he's from any other people other than the people he made his covenant with.
Yes, sir. Okay.
I mean, salvation, okay. What are you going to be saved from? White people own the world, so what they got to be saved from? They don't need salvation. Salvation is to be free from your oppressor.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
You're to teach. Exactly. And that's exactly what it is, champ, is because, you know, here we've been in this land 400 years, and I was doing some research earlier today, and they're talking about this critical race theory that I'm seeing over mainstream media. And it's pretty much they're saying, it's pretty much that white America does not want us telling the truth about their brutalization against us. Also, too, they tried to say that, you know, you got black racists out here. And I don't understand that is because we are not in no position to implement any type of racism because we control no police department. We don't control no major industry. We don't hold no major land. And we don't control no type of social media or what have you, where they come up there and manipulate us on here, then they want to block us and all that, because I've been blocked, you know, a lot of our people have been blocked. You've been blocked yourself, champ, you know what I'm saying, for dropping the great knowledge that you have.
Yeah, I'm a repeat offender.
Yes, sir. That only means that we're getting somewhere, you know what I mean? And then keep in mind, it's a multi-trillion-dollar industry that they're having, and they're talking all this good stuff about Jeff Bezos is stepping down from Amazon and all of this, and then he's getting ready to go up here in the outer space. And then I'm noticing is that they're doing a lot of weather manipulation and what have you. And then on top of that, when they do that, okay, quite naturally, of course, you know, that there's messing, you know, with the atmosphere and things of this nature, and this is how you're getting this global warming. And from what I understand up there in the Pacific Northwest, you know, is that they are having record temperatures up there in places like Seattle and Portland and whatnot, and I don't recall it getting no hotter than 75 degrees up there, you know, in June and what happened. So there's definitely something, you know, that's going on. They say, and then of course, you know, with this technology, you know, with this vaccine situation that they're saying that they're having, one is they're talking about they got this new strand, and I believe that you're going to have this strand, the next strand, and the next strand over. So what we have to do, black families, protect ourselves from this genocide. And the only thing I can say about it is just one word with it, Tuskegee. You know what I mean? We all remember the experience. Yes, sir.
I think we want to say something. I mean, I find that it's completely odd, especially with the weather, like Brother Shabaka is saying. I mean, it is in certain areas of the world, it is extremely hot or extremely tumultuous with the storms and whatnot. That are just a little bit normal, you know what I mean? And all the global warming stuff is, you know, I hate to say it, but it's like kind of man-made, it seems to me. Is the elements are moving in a weird way now. You know what I mean? And they weren't really acting so tumultuous. So heavy. Now you're starting to see a real niche nowadays, in this, especially this year. You're starting to see the weather take different levels of extreme. Mother Nature is just getting extreme. You know what I mean? Because I don't know how the algorithms and the weather really are affected, but I just feel like the vibe is definitely moving in a traumatic way, you know?
Yeah, unprotected.
But you know, everything God said was going to happen. He said it was going to be wars and rumors of wars. There was going to be plagues and pestilence. He said there was going to be, earthquakes in diverse places. I'm in Indiana. We just had an earthquake. That don't happen. I mean, everything God said was going to happen. He said household against household. I mean,
testimonies is like he's predicted it, and the Bible predicted it. A lot of the calendars have predicted some certain things. It's really coming to provision, like volition. It's really coming into play.
Yes, the worst thing that ever happened to our people was Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, carry on, gentlemen. Did I lose you guys?
No,
Shabaka?
I'm here.
Are you guys it? Carry on, gentlemen.
Okay, yeah. No. Shabaka still on?
He might have dropped off, but we'll hold it down for him.
Okay. Brother. I'm in total agreement with everything you're saying, brother, because, you know, it says in the Bible that they shall be my people and I shall be their God. You know, and when you look in Genesis, it talk about let us create man in our own image, and the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So, you know, I'm a 5%er myself. I teach that the black man is God and the black woman is the earth. And I just think that, you know, I think that the white man is the devil incarnate.
Yeah, the Bible,
you know,
the Bible don't
describe
nobody with a red suit on. No, matter of fact, if you can go to Revelation, where it says that the dragon gave power to the beast as it's referring to is Edom.
That energy is getting fed because this needs to get more powerful, and we need to deflect that so we're not taking so much power, because we need our power. You know what I mean? And I feel like we're not vibrating, or we're letting it control us and not us control it. You know? And I want to change that narrative.
Yeah. The beast is the system. You know what I'm saying? The beast is the system. When we talk about the image of the beast, I believe that's talking about social media, the internet, the television, the radio, you know what I mean, all that imagery that they're putting before your eyes to entertain you. Right. The devil.
Well, the program is definitely out there. You got to reprogram everybody to get on the same coding and the same system. Thinking, because we're even reteaching and reprogramming. It's such a, everybody's waking up in segments. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna. I'll go back to it real quick when he was talking about enmity. See, and Romans 9, chapter 11, he says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of the God of Israel according to election might stand. So who was elected? Elected was the children of Israel. He said, not of works, but of him that called. So then when we go to Genesis 3 and 15, it said, and I will put enmity, which is a very, very important thing for us to know, which preachers are scared to talk about. Because he said, I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed. It said, and the seed is the seed is Israel. He said, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise thy feet. But the point I'm trying to make is that God gave rulership to the children of Edom to rule over this earth, because we were the covenant with him, and our people, for whatever reason, refuse to believe that. We want to go and believe in white Jesus and whatever that, go to church on Sunday when that ain't even the Sabbath. We don't do nothing that the Bible says. Matter of fact, I say this, and forgive my speech, I say, if a nigga was in jail, I said he'd die in prison, because if that was a key, if that was a sign that said the key's on the pillow, that nigga would die. We refuse to read. Our people rather go and let somebody tell us what to do.
All right, yeah. May I propose something? Do you think it's an act of fear?
I just think that
if black people are still in, that they don't want to let go of that, and they're still continuing this line of we have to follow this ruler rhetoric instead of just freeing ourselves from the shit that's been holding us back. Excuse my language. From the stuff that's been holding us back for 400 plus years. I mean, you think it's a sense of fear that we're still scared? Because, I mean, freedom is here. We can't release ourselves from certain things of being tied down to the rules of supremacy. You know what I mean? And you think it's a fear that's holding a lot of people back. And there's a lot of people that say, well, fuck, excuse me, we'll leave those people behind and, move forward with the revolution because these people can't get on the same page, and it's a sense of a coonerish behavior that they're afraid to let go of. Do you think?
It's not just in America. See, every country I've ever been to, wherever the Negro is, we're always in the same condition with the same mindset to hate each other, to be jealous of each other, and want to kill each other. So that's why I say it's a curse. This has nothing to do. See, everybody want to try to take the power away from God, but God said he was going to make these things happen until we turn back to him and keeping his law, statutes, and commandments. People always say, oh, I can't keep the laws of God. Well, you keep the white man laws. It's 45,000 laws on this earth from the white people, and you keep every last one. But God said 613 that you're supposed to live by. He only gave these laws to one people, and that's us. But we refuse to believe it, because we come up under this Christianity. But because this 400 years is up, he already said what he was going to do in the end. And you can read that all through Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to do anything. He's going to bring us back together. I dig what you're saying, sister, and it sounds great. I would love that. But guess what? They've been doing that since before we was born. Even the slaves couldn't work together. I mean, just like you were talking about the satellites, the sellouts or whatnot. You know, this is the thing. We have curses on us that these spirits that will not allow us to work together until God decides to move it off of us when he's ready. And as what I see now is he's actually doing that. But we have to go through things like George Floyd and things like that to break the yoke from around our necks to bring us together. And it's going to be more of us dying until, we come together. See, what people have to understand is, like you said, no new things under the sun. When you get a grasshopper and the grasshopper gets around other grasshoppers and he's irritated, he shuffles himself in a certain way, whereas he gives off this vibration. Well, we're the same way. All that's going to happen is they're going to keep killing us until one of us send out a signal, and we're going to turn into those locusts, just like how those grasshoppers do when they get irritated, and then one irritates another one. Because I'm sure you've been plenty places in your life, whereas you come in a room and maybe the music it puts you in a trance and everybody's on the same page. Well, that's the same way it's going to be, just like how we felt with Rodney King, just like how we felt when other black people have been murdered in this country. Well, it ain't time for us yet. And trust and believe, when it gets to that point, it ain't going to be no turning back. It's going to be like the locust. You ain't going to be able to stop us. And God already said we was going to have a victory, because he said we was going to take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Not thus said the Lord, not me.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to tell not lie.
You know,
And, yeah, you know, like I said, a lot of people have fear that is holding a lot of people back and from getting on the same mindset. And they, you know, they look at the person that is speaking this kind of narrative, and they're like, well, you're wrong. We should submit. But we shouldn't submit, and you should never submit, and you shouldn't have submitted back then either. You know what I mean? And you should submit now. Like, now we're coming to a point where everything is starting to come to a boil. White supremacy is being called out full force. You know what I mean? People are letting things known that this kind of dictation that they have been putting on us for all this time is really about to end and needs to end. Should have ended. Should have ended a long time ago. And now we have to step up and really, really push to the next level what our predecessors have been trying to do and haven't been able to accomplish. It's up to us now to really lead that forward for our next generation. We can't leave them any kind of legacy, not even this kind of legacy, if we're going to let them continue to keep us down, continue to, like you said, continue to kill us, continue to oppress us, continue to steal everything that we make, take credit for things that they don't get us. They don't have business taking credit for, copycatting, all that stuff. That stuff needs to end. You know, where the people that they have been copying and been influenced by so much that they keep robbing everybody from has to end, and that we can take our power back and move this the appropriate way, the way it should have been done a long, 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 long time ago.
I agree.
Yes, ma'am. I just think that, you know, I also agree with you, brother. I just have a different understanding on God and godliness. And I just think that God is real, the devil's real. And, you know, it says in the Bible that we are the temple of the true and living God. And between my ears is the temple. So I keep God on the mind. And on my mental plane, and I try to embody godliness, and that's what I'm on. You know what I mean? And, you know. Go ahead, brother.
Well, he said if you love me, keep my commandments. That, I mean, it's really that simple. And you know what? I'm just going to read it for you because it's real short, man. You know, our people, we doing our own thing. See, we are a tribal people. That's number one. We live in a democratic society. It's not okay for our young men to grow up and decide they can wear dresses or decide that they can look a certain way. No, listen, we are a tribal people, and we do tribal things. We handle things tribally. We didn't need schools like that. Who can raise and educate your child better than you in your home until he reaches a certain age when he's going to go have a special? And then on top of that, man, you know, they are one man, one woman. What's that? Mono, what is that called?
Heterosexual?
No. It's where it's one man to one woman versus
monogamy.
We're not, if you look at the history of our people going back as far as you want to go, starting in this country with our fathers, we was never ever monogamous. Our men was never a monogamous people. If you go back to King Yahya in the 1100s, which is how slavery started. People don't even understand. Slavery started because we would not convert to Christianity, and that occurred in Spain. And those people in Spain who were called Negro, because the word Negro is not even synonymous with the word with the country of Africa, the people who called themselves Negro around 1100, that started around the 1400s, 1500s. They fled down into Africa trying to get away from the Christianity because they were direct descendants of King David. and they wouldn't change their way of praising because
right.
when the Roman Catholics rose up, they said everybody has to practice Christianity, or people said no. They said we're going to put you in jail. So they started putting us in jail. People
right.
started fleeing. So many more people were fleeing around the 1400s, 1500s from Spain, fleeing from Portugal, fleeing from France, that their economy started going under. So they said, listen, those people that are down there in Africa, so many of us who went down there to Africa, they start calling it Negro land. You can Google search it. In Negro land to come up. And so this was on the northwestern coast of Africa, and this was talking about Nigeria and all that whole region. But the point is, all those people were Bantu people. Bantu people are the direct descendants of King David. If you look at the slave trade record, 94% of all the Bantu were sold over into the Americas. Now, if you keep going, now what you will understand is those people who fled from Portugal down there into Africa, they start living down there and they start bringing economies because we always invent everything but the patent office. And so Africa started doing real good. But we was living on the land of our, I guess for lack of a better word, our father's brother, which was Ham. We are Shemitic people. We descend from Shem. Noah had three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. And that's why Christ went to, yeah, that's why the angels, the three wise men, told him to take Christ even to Egypt to blend in. Because you know and I know, if you and me standing next to an African, we know he ain't one of us, but if a white person walks by, he's going, hey, how y'all doing? Because he can't tell the difference. Just like you can't look at a white person and say, oh, he's from England, he's from Italy, he's from France, he's from Germany,
right,
he's
right,
from
right.
Eastern Europe. But they can tell. But that's why they are called Caucasian, because they come together under one banner. And Psalms 83 says, 83 verse 2 says that they are confederate against thee. Confederate is when people who are of the same race come together. Because remember, Esau was the brother of Jacob. We are the descendants of Jacob. Jacob's name was given by the name of God, which was Israel. Israel had 12 sons. They were scattered to the four corners of the world. Ironically, that blood, that E1B1A haplo blood type, and the skull craniums, it all matches the Negroes in America, because what they did was they went back to the graves and dug up graves before 70 AD, before the Roman Empire invaded the children of Israel, and they fled. Now,
because the original ones fled in 70 AD into Africa.
And all the skulls, all the craniums, they
right,
match
yeah.
the Negroes. And so we got
now, what can we do with all that? I mean, I myself am multiracial, you know what I mean, black first always, but the thing is that, you know, we out here, you know, was it FBA, is now mixed. A lot of people are mixed, you know what I mean? And where do they fit into the spectrum?
Where, who fits
black
in?
Is dominant.
I'm sorry,
right.
I didn't hear
what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I myself am multiracial, black first, always.
Right.
What I'm saying is, now where do all these mixtures fit into that conversation? You know what I mean?
It's by the seed of the Father. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said it's by the seed of the Father. That's that chromosome. Is by the seed of the Father, and that's what the Bible goes by. And there are many
okay.
scriptures that back up that. And
but
so
that's,
it gets...
That's
and what we're talking about also is something that... I don't know if you even know. I'm just going to say it, and I can back it up. Thus saith the Lord by scripture, precept upon precept. So if you understand that Noah had three sons and they were tasked with repopulating the world, for lack of a better word, if you look at the kingdoms on earth, if you look at who ruled out of the three sons on the earth first, you will see it was the descendants of Ham. How do we confirm this? Babylon was Nimrod. Nimrod's father was Cush. Cush First of all, Babylon was the first United States on earth. That's why they call America Mystery Babylon, because now America also have the melting pot of all the nations, whereas Babylon was the first country in the whole world that had melting pot of all the nationalities. That was under the Africans. His father was Cush. Cush is the one that, his descendants are the one that found Europe. Europe means Europa Indians. It ain't named after no white man. It's named after the Indians that came from Africa. The Europa Indians and the TWA tribe are the leprechauns that they always talk, when you hear them talking about leprechauns and what's that called over in Ireland? St. Patrick's Day, that was when the white man came with his guns and chased a little pygmy TWA tribe that bought all their gold. They would run to their village trying to get help, and they had these things called gun, and they wiped them out and took the gold. So those little green leprechauns are actually Africans, and that's why they celebrate every year, celebrating the death when they wipe out the last of the pygmy Indians that are also Hermetic African people that come from Ham. And when you hear people talking about Kemet means Ham. I mean, I laugh because
Cam and Ham is the same thing, you know, black
same
people.
Thing. Yeah. You get brothers. Oh man, no, I'm Kemet. Okay, okay. Well, you had your rulership on this earth because again we had Europe, we had Babylon, and we had Egypt. Egypt, you had all those pharaohs. All those people were Africans, man. The greatest nation were the Africans in the very beginning, because that's what God gave them. But it failed because the garments of skins, which is, or the coats that was given to Adam and Eve when they was leaving out of the Garden of Eden. You can look it up. The garments of skin, it was given to Adam and Eve after they was kicked out of the garden to give them prosperity outside of the garden in the world. But when they got onto the ship with Noah, they said that Ham stole it. Ham passed it down to Cush. Cush gave it to Nimrod. And then it said that Esau, he cut his head off. He used to hunt in Mount Seir, the same place that Nimrod and Esau used to hunt in the same place. Esau was hunting in the field one day. He saw Nimrod. He ran up to him when his boys all spread out because they were spread out to hunt. He cut his head off, and then he ended up killing two other dudes that was with him. They chased him, and he ran, and that's when he sold his birthright to Jacob. They were chasing him. This is in the book of Jubilees, the book that even the Bible refers to, but don't no preachers ever talk about. That's why I say these preachers are bullshit, and they all going to hell, the lake of fire. But the point is this, ever since that point, white people have had rulership on this earth. How can we confirm this? Because look at the name of the dukes and the sirs. But you got to remember, Esau, Edom, and the children of Japheth, remember, they had a war, and it said that the children of Edom lost, and Japheth made them assimilate. That's why you got all white nations with all different color hairs, all different color eyes, all different color shapes and everything. That's why they can kill each other and get away with it, because it ain't normal for you to walk into a school and kill little kids that got the same complexion as you. But when you know they ain't actually the same people as you, just the same complexion, it kind of changes the dynamic of it. But here's my point. My point is this. God said this. He said in the prophecy, because remember when the children of Israel was coming, when they were coming out of Egypt, when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to pray, he said that, hey, I'm going to be back. I'm going to go and get some instructions and come back. But you know how our people are. Man, that nigga ain't coming back. And so his brother was like, look, you remember that calf of gold that we used to worship in Egypt? We need some hope. Give me that gold out of your teeth, from around your neck and off of your ears. So we know they couldn't have been white, because white people only wear gold like that. But the point I'm making is that they took all that gold, melted it down, made the calf of gold. When they was at the top, God told Moses, he said, hey, I'm about to kill all these people. And he said, he told them what was going on. They was down there and made this calf. He said, no, Lord, don't destroy him. He said, I'm going to just use your family, but I'm going to destroy all the rest of them. He said, no. So he begged God, and God said, okay, but I'm going to put a generational curse. A curse is going to be on them for 10 generations. You know, it's just, he said this generation, this curse is going to follow them wherever they go. But the end of the curse is going to be when they go to a land that their forefathers had never known, Genesis 15:13, when they go to a land that their forefathers had never known, and they're going to be then treated for bondmen and bondwomen. And he said that they're going to come out with great substance at the end of it, but we're going to go through hell. And then we fast forward that to Deuteronomy 28:68. We said we was going to sail by ship and he said we was going to be in the land for 400 years. Pretty much the same thing. He said bond men and bond women. And then if you read the prophecies of what he said the children of Israel was going to go through in Deuteronomy 28:15-68, where he said that the children of Israel were going to build houses and not live in it. He said they was going to plant fields and not eat from it. Said they was going to have to go to their oppressor for want and need of all things. Said they ain't going to have no mercy on the young or the old. So you pick cotton if you was 3 or if you was 80. It didn't even matter. I mean, he said everything he said and prophesied that the children of Israel was going to go through in this strange land for 400 years that ironically Trump signed a piece of paper when he was in office and said, they've been in this country for 400 years, even though we know we had already been here before that. The northern tribe, which left 700 years before 70 AD under the Assyrian captivity and didn't want to come back to Israel because we was a small nation and they scattered around the world. And that's how we got here before anybody got here. And then if you understand what he's talking about, the two sticks in the Bible, he's talking about sticks in Ezekiel, he's talking about the stick of Judah, which is the Negroes, which is Benjamin, Levi, and Judah. And then if you say you're talking about the stick of Joseph, which is, those are the Spanish speaking Negroes. And so at the end of the day, we're here in this country. And the prophecies of the Bible is coming to pass. He's bringing us together because now you got Spanish-speaking Negroes and English-speaking Negroes rising up together.
Okay, I just want to interject real quick, brother, if I could. You know how you were talking about Mystery Babylon?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, it says, and also, and I'm going to keep it straight to the Bible, it says that in the last days, the mystery of God will be revealed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, you know, I see where you're coming from because it's totally biblical, but I try to see a little bit more, like, because I know that the Bible was, like, chopped and screwed by the Council of Nicaea, and it was, like, mixed and diluted by those people, you know, under Constantine. So I have a hard time taking it as a literal thing when, to me, it deals more with symbolism and philosophical representation. So
no, sir.
Let me tell you why
you made your mistake real quick, and then you tell me what you think. Okay.
Go ahead, brother. It's all good. I listen to you, and I'll continue to listen out of respect.
I just want to read something to you real quick, and then you tell me what this means. Because I dig what you're saying. They did try to screw up the Bible, but there's one thing that you have to remember. He never gave them the Ruach HaKodesh. He never gave them the Holy Spirit. That's why when he blessed Esau in Genesis 27:39-40, he said, "I give you to do a heaven from above, and by the sword you shall live." And then he said, "When you have dominion, meaning rulership on earth, you need." He said, "You have to break the yoke off of your brother and serve him." So then we go back to Genesis 27:28, where he told Jacob, he said, "I give you the dew of heaven," but he didn't say from above. And then you wonder why even our kids at 3 years old, we take them to church. They got soul, they got timing. You wonder why our athletes are the best, because we got soul, we got timing. But you go to a white church.
Yeah, I get that, brother.
Like, yeah. So the
I'm
point
just saying,
I'm making.
I'm just. Go ahead.
So the point that I'm making to you is he gave us the eyes to see the Bible through precept upon precept, and that's the way that it's supposed to be read. He said, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But he said, line upon line upon line, here a little, there. But the point I'm trying to make is the Bible is not a book. It's a book of prophecy, whereas it's like a puzzle. Because remember, we're not on
a
walk.
A book of parables.
This is a walk.
A book of parables,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, and he didn't give them the understanding for the parables. That's why he said they got eyes to see, but see not, and ears to hear, but hearing that. That's why in this country, they wouldn't even allow a black man to have service unless a white man sat in the back of the church.
Yes, you're right. You're right. All I was getting at, brother, is that a lot of times, you know, we're like black people in general have kind of like go with the religious side of the Bible instead of the precepts and the realism of the message that's made up of. You know, and my thing is, I don't know. You see, I'm not as educated as you are as far as the verses and all that. You know, I do have some insight on the Bible, but to me, it's an example. It's an example of how I should be living, what I should be doing with my life, and a book of prophecy also. But I also take into account all the holy books, because I know, like, when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the light, that comes out of Africa, out of the pyramid text. I'm not sure if it was Osiris or Heru that said it, which is Horus. But when he says that, ancient saying, that's an ancient saying out of the Egyptian pyramids and out of the pyramid text. What I'm trying to get at, brother, if I could, what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, our subject for today was justice, right? And justice to me is righteousness. So it's proper conduct and proper treatment of people. And, you know, just everywhere you go, you uphold a moral standard that's godly and righteous. You know what I mean? You know, and that's all I want to say, brother. I'm totally with what you're saying, because what you're saying is truth. You know, as far as, you know, the law of God, which is, you know, we need to be correct and be positive and all that. I'm just trying to like grasp where you're coming from as far as the actual the scriptures. You know.
Well,
go ahead, brother.
Well, I've been studying the Bible all my life, pretty much. I can say the Spirit has been upon me. Before I found God, God found me. I'm just saying that much, man. But what I want you to just understand, I'm going to read it to you, man. This is Jubilees chapter 15. Matter of fact, hold on, you know what? One second, give me one second. I'm going to read you something, brother, that I just feel like.
Go ahead, brother. It's all good. I'm open to it.
We all need to know. And that's why I'm so mad at these preachers, man. Because
I know the first five books is the Torah. I know the first five books
sir.
Is the Torah.
Yes, sir.
You know, but what was crazy is they credit Moses for writing it, but in it, it talks about how Moses passed. And how's a dead man going to write something if he's already dead? I don't know where he died at. And I don't know if it was Exodus. He returned.
He died in the wilderness.
But,
mm-hmm.
Right, you know, because he made it to be 120 years old. 40 years he studied to be a prophet, and he was becoming a prophet. 40 years he was in Egypt fighting against the Pharaoh, and then 40 years he was in the wilderness trying to civilize his people and lead his people to the promised land. I get that. So the promised land we're trying to get to is freedom, justice, and equality, brother. And me, myself, I can't base everything on the Bible. Because I won't, and I don't, because I know that, like earlier I was saying, how a lot of things came out of African folklore and African culture and African writings. And, you know, I think that I got to, because I take sayings from Buddha. I take sayings from anywhere that's positive, you know what I mean, and I try to apply it to my life. And as far as how black people are treated, man, we're treated like animals, man. And you know, like you said, it's already been predicted, but now what are we going to do to overcome the suppression that we're suffering right now and that we're enduring? And I just think that in order to overcome this oppression, we need to be proactive and stop dealing with spookism. You know what I'm saying? We need tangibles, like Brother Parrish says. We need tangibles. We need things that are substantial, things that are essential in order to gain growth and develop. You know, and I respect the Bible. I love the Bible. I love all the prophets out of the Bible, Jesus is included. But my main focus is revolution, brother, and how do we get revolution? And that's what I'm trying to get at. And that, I believe that this is what this show was about justice and how Bill Cosby, who was a black man, a positive black man, a positive image in the community, they destroyed his image. They spotted his garments, because that man was pure, brother, you know, in my eyes. And he stood for something that was positive and something that was great, and they smudged his image. And, you know, they continue to do that, and they're feminizing the black man. They're destroying the black family. And the first law of the devil is divide and conquer, and that's what they're trying to do. And one way that the devil does that is through religion. Do you agree?
I totally agree. The devil works for God. The devil works for God. Think about it. Because if it was up to the devil, everybody be dead right now. But remember, even when it came to Job, the devil had to get permission from God. And there are other scriptures where, matter of fact, when Noah, when his ship had first landed in Mount Ararat, and they was starting to trying to put the pieces back together, Noah had to go to God and say, look, God, I know you killed off everybody of the flesh, but these spirits are still here, and they are going to make my sons go back to the wicked beings while you flooded the earth. So when he left, Satan appeared, because God was getting ready to obey the wishes of Noah. And then Satan said, God, if you get rid of all these spirits on earth, how can I do my will that you are allowing me? How can I test man, which you are allowing me to separate the wolf from the sheep? So God said he was only going to leave a tent, but he got rid of all the rest. He locked them up, but he said in the last days he's going to be letting them loose. And that's why we see all the hell on this earth, because he's starting to let these same spirits that was loose in the very beginning before the flood. Remember, he made the rainbow as a sign to say, I'll never flood the earth again. He said he's going to destroy it by fire.
But look who's using the rainbow now, brother.
That's why I said fire, because he's going to light the ass on fire.
True indeed. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God, then the Word became flesh. So if we're the people of God, we're the vessel of God, godliness and righteousness.
Who are the people of the flesh? Who are the people of the flesh?
The people of the flesh are the carnal human beings, black men.
Mm-mm.
And it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, then the Word became flesh. It's talking about, I know you're getting at the soul, but when it says Word, it's talking about logic. It's coming from the translation of logos, which means logic, which means knowledge. So
the people.
So in actuality, it's talking about the activation of the Word and your Word becoming bond, and you utilizing those holy words, those holy scriptures, and those holy writings to your advantage, because that's what it's for. It's the double-edged sword that it talks about in the prophecies, when it talks about the strong. He's going to come with a double-edged sword out of his mouth. You see what I'm saying? And that's utilizing wisdom and knowledge in order to overcome the devil. And when I say devil, I ain't talking about no dude with no pitchfork. Even that dude with symbolism and horns and all that. I'm talking about the devil, the white man, and the white man system. When we talk about the beast, I'm talking about the system itself.
Right. I mean, that whole thing about the devil in the red suit, that was given to you, given to us by our oppressors, just like everything else. The thing of it is, like, I really, to make it simple with you, man, there were three sons. The first son was Ham, and he had rulership on earth. And if you look, all Africans can show you around the world. They just found a space in the Grand Canyons. They just found another Egyptian space or whatnot. But the point is, the Africans ruled the world before the white man. The white man are the people that are the descendants of Japheth that had a war with Esau and made them all assimilate. That also, every last white person on earth has some degree of the Neanderthal in them, and the Rh Rhesus monkey, and that's a fact. I mean, their own people have proven that, because that's why it's called mankind, because they're kind of like man. That's why they're red and hairy, and that's why. And if you look at it, man, like the way it was explained to me, that's not hair on their head. That's fur. That's why our hair grows to the heaven. But anyway, that's just on something else. But the point I'm making is, this is their rulership on the earth because of what we did when we was in Mount Sinai, when Moses was in Mount Sinai, and that's when the Levitical laws came, the law of sin and death. But when Christ came, he done away with the Levitical laws. He done away with animal sacrifice, and he bought back the order of Melchizedek, which was the priestly order that was first given to Shem. Shem was the first king of peace. So the point I'm making is that he said that the last kingdom, which is the kingdom, and when I say kingdom, I'm talking about the three fathers, the fathers that descend from Noah. We're talking about Shem, Japheth, and Ham. Ham had the first rulership. Now Japheth is in rulership. Now what Japheth did is they tried to get rid of everything to make you believe that they've always been on this earth and ruling everything, but we all know white can't make black, but black can make everything. Black makes everything. That's why he said, and there was darkness, and he said, let there be light. He didn't say it was light, and then it got dark. But the point I'm trying to make is the disguise of all of this whole conversation is all we have to do as a people is continue to try to learn the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High God, and be patient and wait on the Most High, because we don't have the might to fight them. He said he's going to give us the might, but he's going to raise us up, but we're going to come back together. Like I say, the Spanish, all those islands with all those dark people.
Yeah, I'm Dominican. I already know what you're talking about, brother. I'm Dominican myself, so I already know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But I'm black. You know what I'm saying? I'm Dominican, but I'm black. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
so, you know, I know what that is, brother.
There are two dark races. Matter of fact, all the races, even Japheth was dark until he went into those Caucasus Mountains and started having sex with those Neanderthals. And so that's, you know, between that and the plagues, the curses that God put on them. But the point I'm trying to make to you, brother, is that the African people, the Hamitic people that built all the great things all around the world, they had their time. And then the white people, the children of Japheth, they came, they're in rulership now. And they have their time, and their time is up. And that's why he said that he was going to bring plagues and pestilence, because everything he's doing is going to be to destroy them. When we was on crack, they was giving us three strikes. They on opioids now. They like, oh, get them some help. Don't give them jail time. That's why they even legalized marijuana, because they found out marijuana is one of the only things that can help a meth addict to get off of drugs. So the point I'm trying to make is that he said the last kingdom, he said heaven is going to be on earth. All you got to do is go read that in Revelation 21.
Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just saying, man, the kingdom that is coming on this earth is going to be when black people own the baseball fields, the football fields, and it's like the role reverse. Everything that we are to the white people now, they are going to be to us. That's why he said, if you go back to the book of Obadiah, he said that they're going to be cut down. They're going to be like, what's that when you shave and just them little nubs? He said that's the way that they're going to be. And they already like that. If you look at the world now, white people make a very, very, very small percent. And the thing of it is they're not having kids at the rate that they used to, and they're not even having big families anymore, and half of them are gay. So their population, they commit suicide, they mass murder each other.
They're going to do it to themselves, brother.
That, what do you think this shot is about? This shot ain't about helping nobody. Because if you – okay, so why would you help people that got that could get the COVID but not people that would get AIDS, not people that would get cancer, not people that would get anything else? And then if you really cared about this country, especially black people, tell me why you allow sugar to be sold to black people when you know it kills us, because it's not natural with our diet because we didn't eat like that where we come from.
Right. We had natural sugars, natural fruit.
Exactly. So if you care about me so much, why would you even give me weed if I get the shot? Why would you give me money if I get the shot?
Right.
I mean,
it's biochemical warfare, brother.
But that's what I'm saying. Our people sleep. See, our people are, as the Bible say, we are cattle led to the slaughter.
We the modern day Lazarus. We the modern day Lazarus, brother. We the modern day Lazarus.
Like I said, about the two sticks, when he's talking about bringing us back together, that's what God is going to do, man. We don't have the might to fight them, and they know that. They look, the weapon. What gun got a black man name on it? Well, we gonna kill them with the gun they created? That just don't even make sense. But that's why if you read, he said he's gonna send back his chariot. We not gonna be alone. He's gonna send back his chariot. Christ is gonna do to them what they did to him. They cut him open with a spear. And he tells you he's gonna cut. He said I'm not gonna come back as a man. He left as a sheep. He coming back as a lion.
Well, but I just know that I'll keep it strictly to the Bible, brother. In Corinthians,
absolutely,
it says, just as we have bore the image of the man of dust, so shall we bore the image of the man of heaven. So my thing is, man, I'm the representative of God on the planet Earth. That's how I see it. You know, because I was made in the image of God, so I have to do what's godly on the earth, and I got to be proactive.
Okay.
I can't wait on no mystery God. I can't wait on no mystery God from the sky to come and save me, brother.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I got to strap my boots. I got to strap my boots and get marching. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible is good. That's beautiful, brother. But the world, as it stands right now, I have to be proactive and I got to execute, you know, and I can't just dwell on that. You know, I got to have my own book of life. Yeah. I got to do what I got to do. You know what I'm saying? I got to survive. And honestly, you know, they talk about the book of life. Yeah. They talk about the book of life. And what I'm sharing with you, brother, is the book of my life, the testimony that I've upheld and that I lived out. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, and I'm talking about the Chronicles. Yeah, Trinity. I'm talking about the Chronicles of my life. You know, and I just want to say I respect you, champ. And first and foremost, I want to let you know I'm a 5%. I don't know if you know what that is.
I'm not 100% familiar, but I've heard. I've spoken with a few 5%ers. You know, but I don't know in depth. No, I don't know.
Yeah. We teach truth and righteousness, brother. You know, and we study the Bible, the Quran. So I'm totally hip to the language that you're speaking, because what you're speaking is truth and righteousness and justice. You know, so, you know, I totally respect that. I just know that we as a people, we do need you to unite. And we got to stop worshiping this image of the beast, man, and the image that, you know, they're trying to put in our head, and that the lies that they're giving to us, we got to stop accepting those things, you know. And
well,
like you said, they're go ahead.
The thing that we have to do is we have to come back to keeping the law, statutes, and commandments of God. And that's what Christ did. Christ kept the law, statutes, and commandments. And we, until we do that, we're always going to be in this turmoil. And I just want to read this to you real quick. This is Jubilees chapter 15.
Go ahead, brother.
Bill,
I'm glad I got to bill with you. And it, brother, I just want to say I respect what you're saying. Go ahead.
All praises. He said, and do thou command the children of Israel and let them observe the sign of this covenant for their generations as an eternal ordinance. That means forever. He said, and they will not be rooted out of the land. So we was rooted out of the land, as you can see. He said, for in 29, he said, for the commandment is ordained for a covenant. So he's telling you his commandment is a covenant with us. As long as we keep his commandment, our covenant is still with him. But when we don't keep his covenant, then we're breaking his commandments. He said that they should observe. He said, for the commandment is ordained for a covenant that they should observe it forever, all the children of Israel. He said, I'm almost done. He said, for Ishmael. So we know that's talking about the Arabs. That was the first son of Isaac, because Isaac had Ishmael and Abraham. Abraham had Ishmael and he had Isaac. But he said,
He had other sons also.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that's why he said all Israel is not Israel.
Midian
said,
and all of them. Yeah, Midian. Midian was one of his sons.
Yeah,
and other ones too.
Right. He said, for Ishmael and his sons and his brothers and Esau, which is the brother of Jacob. He said, the Lord did not cause to approach him, and he chose them not because they are the children of Abraham, because he knew them. But he chose Israel to be his people, 31, and he sanctified it and gathered it from amongst all the children of men. He said, for there are many nations, and that's what you just alluded to, for there are many nations and many people, and all are his. So God is telling you everybody on this earth is his. He said, and over all hath he placed spirits and authority to lead them astray from him, which means to lead them away from him. He said in 32, but over Israel, he did not appoint any angel or spirit, for he alone is their ruler, and he will preserve them and require them at the hands of his angels and his spirits and at the hand of all his powers in order that he may preserve them. So we have to keep that law. He said, and bless them. He said that they may be his, he may be theirs from henceforth forever. Now here's the part that we have to discuss. He said, and now I announce unto thee the children of Israel will not keep true to this ordinance, meaning we won't keep his commandment. He said, and they will not circumcise their sons according to all this law. So he's talking about spiritual. He's talking about the act of keeping his law, not circumcising your penis per se. He said, for in the flesh their circumcision, they will omit this circumcision of their son, and all of them sons of Belial, basically saying that these people are wicked. He said, will leave their sons uncircumcised as they were born, because they may circumcise them physically, but mentally, spiritually, they won't keep the law. So you are still uncircumcised. And then he said, and there will no longer be, there will be great wrath from the Lord against the children of Israel, because they have forsaken his covenant and turned aside from his word and provoked and blasphemed, inasmuch as they do not observe the ordinance of this law. For they have treated their members, they have treated their members like Gentiles, so that they may be removed and rooted out of the land which we're not in anymore. And there will be, he said, there will no more be pardon or forgiveness unto them, so that there should be forgiveness and pardon for all the sins for this eternal era. And again, it gets back to keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. So when people talk about Hamashiach, as the world ignorantly calls him, Jesus Christ, when we talk about Yehoshua, Christ kept the feast days. He kept the Sabbath. He didn't celebrate no pagan holidays, Christmas.
He didn't eat pork.
He didn't eat pork. He kept the dietary laws. He wore fringes. He wore a beard on his face like God told a man. So at the end of the day, God is telling you, my covenant with you is how to live and how to serve me on this earth. But if you want to go do your thing, go do your thing. Because he said every man is going to stand in judgment for his deeds, not because he's good or bad, but because of his deeds. Now, your deeds is going to be based upon did you keep my law or not, because I don't know if you got sons or children, but I know when I tell
I got three sons. I got three kids, brother.
Let me ask you a question. If you tell your kids to do something and you say, listen, I'm about to go, but when I come back, it better be done. And you come back and they got friends over, are you mad at the friends?
No, I'm mad at them.
Exactly. The friends are all the other nations that are around us. That's why they can be gay. That's why they can have sex changes. That's why they can do anything on earth they want, because he just told you I gave other spirits for them. But for Israel, these are my people, and they have to keep my commandment because I'm their father. And so at the end of the day, God says I'm not a respecter of persons. So he don't care about what we
That's
think
right.
or what we feel. He care about, thus said, I'm daddy. Are you listening to what daddy is telling you? So at the end of the day, like you say, he went to the store, he'd be right back.
I got you, brother. All I'm saying is you choose the word Israel, I just choose the word God's people. You know, and God's people are black people, period.
I'm with
you,
brother.
I have a hard time.
But remember,
I have a hard time. I have a hard time identifying. I know, but I have a hard time identifying with the word Israel. Just because Israel
cool
means struggle and El means God.
What I mean?
Whatever because
it is.
I'm in the wilderness of North America, brother. I'm a black man, and I represent the black nation. You know what I mean? And I'm totally with you when you say the law of God, because the law of God destroys the law of the devil. You know what
but
I mean?
Remember, he gave
the
covenant.
Law of God. Go ahead. Yeah, that's his covenant, the law of God.
So,
and my thing is that the law of God teaches respect, you know, for your fellow man, how
so
to
do
be
you
civilized.
Walk like a black man, may I ask you that? Do you walk like a black man, may I ask you that?
Of
you
course.
Know how we walk.
I am a black man.
So do you know where that comes from?
What you mean,
do
brother?
You know why you walk like you walk, black man?
Because it's my genetic makeup, brother.
But do you know where that comes from?
How's that, brother? Bear with me.
Jacob wrestled with an angel, and the angel pulled his hip out
of
place.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So if you look at our people, because notice in this text, it never said anything else. I'm sure he busted Jacob's lip.
He
blacked his eye. But he didn't say nothing else, but he pulled his hip out of place. Now, I've been around the whole world, but only our people walk like us.
Right.
Africans don't walk like us. Esau don't walk like us. Elam don't walk. Don't no nation on earth walk like us. They don't walk like somebody could have pulled their hip out of place and then healed it. Africans can't grow old afros. Africans can't grow facial hair. Only the true black man grows facial
right.
hair.
Asiatic? Do you consider them Asiatic? Our people, do you consider us Asiatic, brother?
Yeah, I consider
Being
everybody.
Being that you always
brother.
Say Israel.
I consider
Asiatic,
everybody
right?
brother. I would consider white people our brothers. Why? Because
no,
all of
I'm
us
saying Asiatic. Asiatic. No, the word Asiatic.
Well,
since you always identify with the word Israel, do you identify with the word Asiatic?
I mean, I ain't never really stopped to consider it because I know that the Middle East used to be called North Africa up until like 1903.
The
so,
reason I ask
know,
that is because. You know, Asiatic is one of the identifications of the black man as you're describing him, being from Israel.
Yeah.
Whether
Yeah, but that was a landmass that was given a name by another man. But I don't recall us living in Asia on Asia land. We lived in North Africa, which was our land. And it was stolen from us and changed to the Middle East and then flooded by the sons of Ishmael, the Arabs.
Because like you said, ain't nothing new under the sun, right?
Ain't nothing new under the sun.
Right. So my thing is, you know, according to my teachings, the whole planet Earth is Asia. You know what I mean? The Earth. You know, to me, Asia is the Earth, planet Earth. We come from this land. Our physical composition comes from this land. We're Asiatic as far as I'm concerned. But it kind of goes hand in hand with what you're saying as far as being Israelite. You know what I mean?
Because
Israel
is
part of Asia, right?
Israelite, the reason why I say Israelite is because, to the best of my understanding, after Jacob wrestled with the angel, he told him, your name will no longer be Jacob, but it will be Israel. And Israel had 12 children, and they were scattered around the world. He said, God said, I'm going to give you our name. That's why, if you really understand, that's why they really changed our names on the slave trade records when we was coming over here, because if you look at the names, every name had something of Yah.
Pardon me, Brother Champ. I'm going to chime in, Brother Shabak. He's trying to call me on another line. Hold on
okay,
real quick. Don't hang up.
Yeah.
Look. You on three-way, brother, so you're back on the show.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm back on the show?
Yeah, because I just put you on three-way.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, man, we're going to put you on
Okay. The champ is still there?
Yeah, the champ is still here.
Yes,
the champ
sir.
Been dropping gems about Israel and black people.
Oh,
and
yes, sir.
He enlightened me about the black man's walk. You know what I mean? While we walk with the Diddy Pop, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And,
okay,
you know,
okay.
And very positive, brother. I respect you, champ. Just want to say that. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, champ, did you guys continue with the show, man? Please tell me that you did.
Of course we did. You're on the show right now, brother.
Okay, okay, all right.
You might be getting some hate mail, because, you know, the truth they don't want to hear. You know, they want to hear about Santa Claus coming down the chimney in the ghetto.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And funny you should say that, champ, is because James Brown had made a record, believe it or not, about 1969 or 1970.
Black and Proud
come to the ghetto, you know what I mean? And then also, too, if we're still on, and I'm definitely going to check it out or check the log back, okay, because as you can see, is that they hate on us, you know what I'm saying? And that, yes, sir, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if Brother Che is with
everybody got dropped off the show, including the producer.
Yes, sir.
They supposed to hate you.
Yes, sir. You know, and that's how
Christ
we know we're doing something right, champ. Oh, yes, sir.
But
you know what
man,
I'm saying? Because yes, sir.
I was going to say, maybe it's just me, but all my life, I ain't never been afraid. Everywhere I went, people thought I was going to lose. So I like the odds. I'm a fighter. That's what I do. I knock niggas out for a living.
Yes, sir. Just like you told my little sister, you knocked him out on every continent, man. You know what I
every
mean?
Every continent.
And then,
every continent.
Yes,
it ain't
sir.
One continent on this earth. I ain't knocked somebody out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Without a doubt, man. You know what I mean? And then also, too, that I want to mention, too, you know, if we're still on the air and whatnot, is that I've been seeing here on mainstream media, they're talking about this stuff here. What do they call it? Racial identity complex or some nonsense or whatever. And I'm looking at these mainstream commentators is talking about that we are wrong to mention, you know, the brutalization, what happened to us here in the United States, right? Their narrative is that we're wrong to remember what they did to us on the plantation system here in the United States. We're supposed to forget about it. We're supposed to sit there, scratch our ass, say, and all of that. You see, so then they want to call us racist. You see what I mean? When when we mention this here to them. Now, the sad part about it is, just to show you their cognitive dissonance, is that they got some of these coons, man, you know, who believe this garbage. You see what I mean? And you and I had a conversation about this here, champ, I think about 2 years ago. Okay?
I didn't want to.
Yeah, man, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Anchorman. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just talking to my roommate, you know, because I'm political prisoner number one up ahead, and I was telling him about the champ. Champ, I don't know too much of your history, you know, but I was just telling him how you've been the champion. You were the boxing champion, and I don't know your full name. Can you tell me your full name, brother?
My full name in boxing is Relentless Lehman Bruce. I knocked out Vladimir Klitschko, the big Russian dude, April 10th, 2004 at the Mandalay Bay. I had the heavyweight title from 2004 to 2006 until I had a career-ending, I had a detached retina that pretty much ended my career. But, you know, I'm not just a champion in the ring. I'm a champion outside the ring. As a matter of fact, Muhammad Ali is my cousin.
Oh, okay. All right. I knew that there was some royal blood right there, champ. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I knew that there was some royal blood. And then also, too, if I may say, champ, when you was over there in L.A., man, at the Broadway Gym over there off of 111th and Main Street, okay, that I grew up in the city of Los Angeles, and you seen my post, champ, and this is why I tell the city of L.A. and the Hollywood industry of what I tell them is because in regard to Mr. Cosby, because, you know, he had wanted to buy NBC. So quite naturally, of course, the powers that be, you know, they shored him up on that, and then they tried to bring him down, you know, with the situation that he had violated these women and what have you. And Mr. Cosby didn't have to do that. And then one of our other brothers, you know, Brother Aleem, had up on his wall is that looking at these women, they weren't the best-looking ones, you know what I mean? And I don't think Mr. Cosby would lower himself to that standard to do that. Plus, you know, he had been married to Sister Camille, you know, all of his life. And then, of course, as we all do know, that Mr. Cosby's son was murdered, the late part of 99 or the early 2000s off the 405 freeway at the Sunset Boulevard exit.
I didn't live far from him. I was just a couple of miles from
there
when it happened.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
But, you know, every time he tried to buy what you're talking about, him going to jail now, when he tried to buy that NBC station back then, that's when his son died.
Yes, sir, exactly. So quite naturally, of course, as I was saying, is when he was doing the Cosby Show, you know, with him and Felicia Rashad, and then they did a spinoff of the show called A Different World, okay? And I never forget the last episode is when Sister Soldier in her dialect or in her last line was saying, yeah, well, you know, they let the cops go. And she said they've been doing that since the slavery times and about how they used to violate the sisters. And I believe the woman who played the character Whitley on there, the actress by the name of Jasmine Guy, had made the statement, well, we got the Constitution. Now, I don't care who's listening right now. If I lose my life, it don't matter. At least I know I'm going before my ancestors, knowing that I did my best to lay down, you know, what I've lived through so they could have it in the archives to make proper decisions for our people in the future. Then Sister Soldier said, well, they used to violate the sisters and that we don't have equal protection up under it. It's because, like I said, when did we as a people petition the United States government to be citizens here? Now, you have those that say the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. Okay, the 13th Amendment quote-unquote, ended slavery. The 14th Amendment, okay, Brother Romero, if you could refresh me on that. Okay, one was to end slavery, one was to make them a citizen, and one was to give them the right to vote. Yes, so that's 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. But what I would like to see is some documentation of where we, on a collective basis, had went to the U.S. government saying that we wanted to be citizens here. And then as Brother Che had pointed out, is that Executive Order 13037 that was signed by Bill Clinton when he was the president has stated that an African American is property of the United States government.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a cold
yes.
shot right there. That's a cold shot.
Yeah, it is.
And when
you know
the Declaration of Independence was written, mm-hmm. all them dudes owned slaves.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And as I say, champ, that you might have heard in my live feeds, that you might have seen me post up on my wall, and I will say it again right here, they were raping, slave trading, pedophiles. It's because
well,
we all know what they talk. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if a man worked a job but never received his pay, and if you took 350 years worth of men working and not receiving their pay.
Yes, sir.
When the people who took your money tell you, you can now be a part of them, but we're not going to give you any of that 350 years of pay, while what they have been doing is passing down houses with equity and redlining, not giving a certain
yes,
people alone, even to this day. Why the hell would you want to be among these people, first of all? What I mean what the house is made on was stolen, and then what the people they use to build it is stolen. So it's I don't understand the mentality of people that say, you know what, I want to be a part of something that used me to make it what it is, and then when I finally get drained and I'm on my deathbed, they want me to just forget and be a part of it. Like, I don't understand that. Like, if I steal your car and go around the block and come
yes,
back
sir.
And get you and tell you you can ride as long as you're in the passenger seat, and you got to give me gas to be in it.
Yes, sir. And that truth is so real, champ, is that I got to laugh to keep from crying on
but,
that.
What kind of thing,
we
got to
separate.
What does that say about us as a people? What the hell does that say about us? The first bomb ever dropped in America was dropped on Wall Street. And we still sitting
yes,
here
sir.
Like, oh, yeah, okay, things is not right. So let's quit acting
exactly.
like everything is right. Because God already told us he was going to put enmity between thy seed. God said he going to make them
yes,
hate
sir.
Us. And that's in the Bible. Why the hell these preachers don't teach that? That's how we know they all fake. Because they got this white man
yes,
piece of paper to say they can talk. And if they talk about what they want to talk about, they can keep all the money in the Bible. They can keep all the money in the church.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
man,
without a doubt. You know what I'm...
And it was built on bullshit.
Oh, absolutely, champ. Absolutely, champ. Absolutely. Absolutely, champ.
I mean,
and that's one thing about your predecessor.
What we're having conversations
yes,
about
sir.
Is about trying to be a part of a system that was never meant for us to be a part of anyway. Because everything they got,
yes,
they
sir.
Got from us.
Yes,
but why
sir.
Do you
want to
be a part of something
talk.
That you built, that somebody else owns,
yes, sir.
Somebody else controls?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm just
come
trying to understand.
It, drop knowledge.
Just trying to understand the logic. What is the what? Can somebody please help me to understand what is the upside of me putting my kids in a school where they'll never ever truly be accepted? A building
right.
that my people, a building that my people built on a land that my people own. Like we
yes, sir.
We our people is so man, I'm trying my best not to cuss. But our people are so
yes, brother, cuss.
Brainwashed.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
sir, absolutely, champ.
Stupid,
yeah. Yes, sir. And then on top of the two, champ,
why do you
want to
be a part of something that don't want you to be a part of it?
Exactly.
Can I say something real quick, Brother Shibaka?
Yes, sir.
Just going along the lines of what the champ has been talking about on the show thus far, I want to say in the scriptures you talk about Mystery Babylon and how we need to come out of her. It says, come out of her, my people.
Yes,
and that's why we need to separate, boycott them.
Exactly. And that's what...
He said, go not to the Gentile. He told us not to. But that's why we going to hell, because we still want to do our thing. We don't fight. You can't even find what Christ was talking to them. Christ told the lady, she said, it's better. He said, I don't even give the scraps of a dog to your kind of people.
He didn't like that.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? And this is why, you know, we created the hashtag champ called Resurrection of the Mental Dead. It's because, you know, through that brutalization, through that degradation, you know, they kept the men, you know, definitely mentally weak. That's why they would always call him a boy. This is why they, when you get around white folks, don't look them in the eye and all of that. You know what I'm saying? And I say to that, bullshit.
We just gonna forget all that.
And then,
we just gonna forget all
that.
We gonna forget all, just like with this doggone stupid election. Oh, you niggas vote for us, and we gonna, as soon as they get in there, thank you, niggas. We see y'all later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yes, sir, absolutely, most definitely, man. And this is why, two chambers that we invite all these Biden supporters that we ain't heard from to call us in, you know, about our tangibles 2020. You know what I'm saying? $100 trillion in tangibles, because that's more. That's less the amount of the wealth that we had generated on the plantation system, not only here in the United States, but in the Caribbean, in Europe, and what have you. You see what I'm saying? And everybody else has benefited off of us except us.
Damn.
Hey, all I'm telling you is listen to this. I'm going to say this, and I ain't even going to say it again.
Yes, sir.
God. The one who said we was going to come to a place for 400 years and we was going to be under certain people and we was going to have to go to them and want and need of all things. He wants a shoe, go to a white man. Want a house, go to a white man. Want a casket, go to a white man. Want your hair done, want a loan. Anything you got, anything on this earth, God said we was going to have to do. We fulfilled that. That's my point. But he said...
Oh, absolutely.
That he said he was going to take revenge for us. He's going to help us. And so whether you can see him or not, but there's a spirit inside of every last one of us, which is why we're alive, because a machine can keep your body alive. It can keep your brain pumping, but your brain can't think. Only way you can function is when you got a spirit of energy inside of you. And there's been so many reports where the doctors say that they even see the spirits leaving the bodies when they die on the hospital beds. So you can't tell me God ain't real, because I'm the living example of it. But the point I'm trying to make is that the God that we serve, the kings, everything that's happening on this earth, he's doing it to break them down, because he said, Bible says, Esau is the end of the world. Jacob is the beginning thereafter. That's 2 Esdras 6 and 9. We know who Esau is because it breaks down to Edom. He said, they the end of the world. He said, Jacob is the beginning thereafter. He says, Esau have I hated. Jacob have I loved. There are scriptures where Abraham said, I didn't want Esau to get the blessing. So he went to Rebekah and told Rebekah to have Isaac food so that Jacob could get the blessing. And that's why that's why Esau was so mad when he got the blessing. He said, when the days of my father are gone, I'm going to kill. He said, I'm going to kill Jacob. And Rebekah heard him, and that's why she sent him to Ur, where her brother lived, and that's where he got his wives and stuff. I mean, all this was planned out for us, man. We just got to live it out.
Divine design, brother.
What's that?
It's divine design.
Yes, sir. All praises. All we got to do is keep trying to keep each other covered, comforted, strong, but the fight ain't really ours, man. I mean, listen, all these guns, everybody, all these black people got guns. Well, guess what? Their name is on the gun. You know what I mean? And so the physical blessing, and this is what our people don't realize. We have a weapon that's greater than guns. We have the dew of heaven up on us. He gave us the dew of heaven.
Yes,
that's what Esau said. I'm going to kill Jacob because he took my blessing. Esau didn't want the gun. Esau didn't want the sword. Every country he's ever taken, he's taken by what? The gun. But what he gave us was so great. He gave us something so great that Esau wanted still hate us to this day for it. And we never have conversations about that. That's why I hate these fucking preachers.
Yes, sir. Wow, champ. Okay. Like you said on your wall many years ago, champ, that I respect. They always wonder why you're so cool, man, because there's a beast that will come out on your ass. Yes, sir. And then also, too, champ, your predecessor, when he got up there and said in 1967 that if I'm going to go up here and die fighting, I will die fighting one of you. He said that at the University of Texas. They called him every nigga. They called him every draft dodge. And he says, well, if I'm going to die, I'm prepared to die fighting one of you. You could hear a pin drop in the room. You know what,
man,
I'm saying? Yes, sir, speak.
I just wanted to say, I love when white people call me a nigger or a nigger. You know why? Because the Bible said we were going to be a byword and a proverb. And if you look up a byword proverb, these names that they call us, those are names that are synonymous with the people that are the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. So when you call me a nigger, you're calling me Israel or Yasharela or whatever you want to say. You are letting me know who I am just by your insult. Because God said that that's what was going to happen. He said we'd be a byword of proverb. Every 15, 20 years in this country since we got here, they changed their nationality. We've been black. We've been colored. We've been African, African-American. We've been Negro. We've been nigger. We've been everything that he said. So again, this is fulfilling. Everything bad is a fulfillment of what God said was going to happen to us. Because remember, he said, I'm not going to refine you with silver. So he's saying, I'm not going to give you riches to make you love me. He said, through the furnace of affliction. So that means that if you're going through something in your life and you a Negro, that means God is purposely doing that to let you know he's keeping his covenant. Because he said, if you won't serve me, I'm going to afflict you.
Right. Okay.
So show me, and I've been asking these preachers, show me in the Bible where having money is prosperity in the eyes of God.
Yes, sir.
I just want to read this. It's real short, man. I'm going to bring this up for you because this is Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9 and 10. He said, for my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Verse 10, this is the key point, and I ain't never heard no preacher talk about this. He said, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So he's telling you, I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. But yet everybody in church, all these fake-ass preachers, the God going to bless you. No, he ain't. He said he wasn't going to give you silver. He wasn't going to give you prosperity. So quit lying.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Teach, champ. Teach. Resurrection of the mental dead, man. Wake up these brain-dead so-and-sos, man.
Hey,
and then I see Brother Che is there with us. Okay, your mic is on mute, Brother Che, our associate producer and our co-host. Brother Che.
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, man, how you doing, man? Yeah, we almost got sabotaged tonight, man. You know what I'm saying? And then I see we got another caller here out of 4185 that wants to speak. Okay, their mic is on mute. Okay, 4185, what's your name and where you calling from? Seven two zero four one eight five.
That's Brandy.
Okay, all righty. Okay, yeah, she's in the queue, and also, too, we got the heavyweight champ, you know, with us still, okay, and I see that we're still alive, okay, so I see that they're just up here messing with us, and we got 20 minutes left up in the podcast, you know, and then let me see here, 4185, okay. Okay, Brandy, mm-hmm. You back on the air. Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah, because they almost tried to sabotage us this evening, folks. You know what I'm saying?
I did the best I could. The anchorman tried to keep it alive with the champ, man. I did the best I could. The champ led the way.
Yes, sir, but the anchorman
yeah,
took it all
I got
the way live.
You,
you know what I'm saying?
The champ led the way, man. I was just listening. The champ did all the talking.
Yes, sir, and let the champ drop the more knowledge because, like I said, man, although y'all are after me, my old brain-dead ass man is learning a lot from you brothers, man, you know what I mean? You know, and
yeah,
I mean, that's
a lot.
Joke. Yeah, you know, and then on top of it, too, is that what I'm looking at here on mainstream media, because I'm not calling them no name, their name, and I ain't giving them no credit, is because I'm also people looking at this stuff here, what they call this here, this racial identity, wait a minute, or whatever, that they're trying to take out of the school system. And basically what I'm saying is that they're saying is that when we talk about black history or the history of our people, that we are anti-white, okay? But in actuality, what it is excuse the expression. No, not excuse the expression. It's a snow job to keep us mentally brain dead, to keep us dependent on them. And just like what the heavyweight champ said right there, the same daggone blasted thing with these preachers. Yes, it's because, champ, if you could check our archives, we did an episode a few years ago called Pulpit Pimps, Jacklegs and Poverty. And then here you get some of these preachers talking about, oh, tie $300,000 to me. And if you can't tie $300,000, tie $1,000 is because, you know, I'm trying to get me a jet airplane. You know what I'm saying? And I picked up a suspension behind it. And like I said, Zuckerberg and Tweety Bird and whoever all you clowns are over there in Silicon Game Valley, I welcome the suspensions. The reason why I welcome the suspensions is because you cannot stand this truth that we're roasting your ass on. Straight out.
I can't
say
something.
I mean? Straight out. Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
Can't say something. Everybody's anti-white now. I mean, haven't they been anti-black for a long time? Haven't they been anti-black for a long time? I mean, now it's been anti-white is like, should have been like that a long time ago, you know what I mean? Not a big deal.
Okay,
well,
see, that's just it, though. Okay, but that's just it, though, Brandy, okay, is because in the late 1960s and in the early 70s, okay, you did have the black empowerment era that they tried to erase from history. You see what I mean? And what it is as long as our men are coming up effeminized, you see what I'm saying? As long as the black woman is going over here with these white guys, they're looking at this crap as progress. But as soon as we start talking about upgrading ourselves and pooling our own resources on land, labor, capital, and entrepreneurship, then, of course, we're looked upon as quote-unquote black racist, you know what I'm saying? And of course, we know this is not true. Because we don't control any police departments. We don't control any major banks. So we do not control any type of tools or instruments to implement any type of racism. And this is why I say to those in the rap industry, when y'all use that NGR term, call our women the B word. You know, check out what Muhammad Ali said in Ebony Magazine in January of 1975 when he regained the heavyweight title. And I'm talking about one of your predecessors, champ. And as you had stated before, He was the most hated black man in America, and he did not get loved by white America until he lost his ability to speak. And the thing is that you have to understand about Muhammad Ali is that he was the most recognized figure on the planet. And he was. Anywhere that he went, you know, the traffic would stop, you know, people would come up to him. Okay, is everybody still with us?
I'm here.
Yeah, everybody's here, man.
Okay.
You know, I just want to say, brother.
Yes, brother Jay.
What these folks is doing, what they're doing is called reverse psychology. They're trying to make us feel the way they've been toward us all this time. So for you to say, oh, we hate white people, well, let me ask you a question. When has any white person ever been hung from a tree by niggas? When have niggas ever went into a house, killed the husband, cut off his penis, put it in his mouth, and raped his woman, raped his daughters, raped his baby girls, used his children for alligator bait?
Drop knowledge.
This has been happening for all this time. Well, then, can you show me what the black man has done to really be able to define what our hate is? Because here's my thing. If I'm in my home and you come in my home time and time and time and time again, and you take my brother, my sister, my cousins, my auntie time and time and time again, how can you be mad at me for hating you?
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? And then on top of it too, Chap, you see what I mean? It's only natural for a male to defend his woman, to defend his household, to defend his young. I mean, man, you don't have to tell a deer that. You don't have to tell a bull that. You don't have to tell the panther that. You don't have to tell the cougar that. You see what I'm saying? It's a universal law and principle. But when it comes up to us, oh, we supposed to be the master Charlie, we love you so much, but you the boss and all that. Bullshit. Okay, and this is why I crumb bum on Hollywood. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Jeff.
So this is the way I see it in my mind.
Yes,
the
sir.
Black man.
Yes, sir.
Is the bee. The black man is the bee with the honeycomb nest. The white man is the bear, who is mad at the bees because he keeps sticking his hand up in there, taking their honey. They keep raping us. They keep robbing us. They keep experimenting on us. They keep sending us to their wars.
Yes,
but you mad
yes,
at us
sir.
Because we got a problem with it.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
Help
I'm saying?
Understand the logic of it.
Yes, sir. Exactly. And what it is, Champ, is I think your boy Frantz Fanon had wrote about it. It's called Cognitive Dissonance. And then Dr. Bobby Wright had wrote a book called The Psychopathic Racial Identity. And when you look at the George Floyd case, Chauvin, when he had his foot on that man's neck, he knew what he was doing. It was intent.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it as well, too, you know, people are pleading with him, hey man, don't do this, but he kept on doing it with it because he knew what he was doing, but he didn't care. And this is why in my opinion, that Chauvin should be facing the death penalty. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
That's it. I'm sorry, I apologize. He had a smile on his face, you know, like a smirk on his face while he was doing it. He murdered that man in front of the whole world. He murdered that man.
Yes, he did.
Well, can I
yes,
say something
with y'all? Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Can I share something with y'all?
Yes, sir.
Can I share something with y'all?
Yes, sir.
The reason why God told us not to go the way of the Gentile, don't marry them, don't do it, because they have the blood of the fallen angels in them. And that's why God told us not to mix with them, because they don't care about killing if it come down to it. I mean, think about it. The whole world has been shaped through murder. There's never been a country they went to and had peace. Even when Indians, our people, gave them peace and gave them a place to live, they said they ate with them and then they murdered them. So don't sit here and play that woe is me, because there's nothing new under the sun. You are your ancestors.
Yes, sir.
So So
yes, sir.
Just like Indians, every time they find some new oil somewhere on an Indian reservation, they quick to move them. Just like they run oil,
yes, sir.
Those are up there in North Dakota, they bringing them oil. They all of the sacred burial lands where they buried their ancestors, they're making them remove that so they can bring oil pipelines through there. That's what all that was about. So they can't never talk
yes,
about
sir.
They have mercy because they ain't never – when have they had peace? When have white people, for the lack of a better word, protest peacefully to get something that they wanted? Did they do that
yes,
when
sir.
They got their 1776 whatever you – 4th of July when we were still slaves? Is that what they did?
Yes, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
I mean, can you
show
me a time when they was peaceful? That's what I'm getting at. Show me a time in this country or anywhere else around the world where they were peaceful when they got what they wanted, when they got treated
yes, sir.
With equality.
Exactly. And then the cold part about it is, too, and the anchor man would tell you, champ, I had recently had passed the area in Montana called the Little Bighorn where Custer had got wiped out at, right?
Yeah.
And you
I
can
remember,
check my
I
wall,
you.
Champ. Yes, sir, and you could, and I think up on my wall, man, I did a video of it as well, too, and there's an ancient African proverb, listen to the wind and hear the stories of long ago. So when they sit up there and talk about that Sitting Bull and his crew were savages, what they did was they protected themselves against invaders. You see what I mean? Because the first chemical warfare that you had is when they came out there and brought the indigenous people smallpox in the blankets. Then they went down there over the Great Plains and killed all the buffalo, which was the basis of what their economy was on. They used the buffalo for food. They used the buffalo for their clothes. They used the remains of the buffalo, their bones, that is, for their weapons. You see what I'm saying? And then when they tell the lie, well, you know, you black people sold yourselves off into slavery, what blows this out the water is when you look at the case of the Amistad, okay? And I did tell him on other conservative shows, champ, and they called your boy every NGR that he was, this, that, there, the other. And I said, yeah, right, but check this out. Okay, if that was the case, why was the prince's son, Sen Q, you know, and they ruled on the case in this year in 1839, I believe, and they made a movie called The Amistad. Okay, so why did you have the king's son? And then other research that I have done is that when they came in initially and quote-unquote bought the slaves on a second trip as the slave market grew, plus the commodities that the slaves had generated, the textiles, the sugar cane for their booze, their rum, their whiskey, and what have you, they just went then kidnapped the one that did the selling as well, too. And they threw his ass down in the hole of that slave ship. But this is the part they don't want to tell you. And I've been called... And I've been called everything, you know, on this, you know what I'm saying? And as you had pointed out, that you pointed up on my wall one time, champ, Sankore, the University of Sankore there in the great city of Timbuktu in the ancient kingdom of Mali, where you had great scholars who had to go there and to do their thesis, I would imagine, for what is the modern-day master's degree. Instead of doing it for 4 years or 6 years, they had to do it for 10 years, we gave the world the concept of trigonometry, geometry, mathematics, the sciences, you see what I'm saying, and embalming the dead, you see, but yet
right
though,
back, brother.
Yeah, and then, you know, they come down there and call us savages, and then these barbarians who came from Greece, and I even think, too, champ, you still with us, champ?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Yes, sir. Okay, and then I even think one time, champ, on your wall, man, that you was dropping knowledge and you was talking about, I believe, General Hannibal when he came through northern Italy with the elephants, and he established, he was from Carthage, which I believe is modern-day Tunisia. All righty. And he told his crew, look, man, we're smashing Rome. We're shutting down Augustus Caesar, and this is how we're going to do it. We're taking these elephants, and we're going through the Swiss Alps to doing it. And all his men says, well, General, oh, that can't be done. What the general say? Hey, man, your post and watch. And went there and shut them down. So therefore, so when we make these statements right here saying, oh, well, you Negroes are just a bunch of black racists, blah, 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 let that there go in one ear out of the other, because there is no argument with undisputed truth. Just like what they're trying to talk about here in this school system right here, where they're trying to eliminate the black history out of the school curriculum. They want our children either incarcerated, males, incarcerated, effeminized, or dead. You see?
But I think
that is because
the food stamp system is about.
Yes, sir.
The food stamp was about empowering a black woman that she didn't need a man. That's why the white, he's like, look, we'll give you a place to live. We'll even give you food. You just can't have no black man in your house.
Exactly. And then Lord knows of how many white men had went up there and took advantage of black women through the concept of extortion.
Oh, of course.
With that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll
take
your rent.
Yeah, let's,
I'll
brother,
take your rent. I'll let your rent slide. Just come on in here and take your clothes off.
Yeah, exactly. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you see what I'm saying? And then, of course, you know, the black woman, you know, has been through hell. She has been brutalized herself. This is what the concept of what Black Friday is about. When white slave owners will take their sons down there to purchase young black girls, you know, off the auction block. Well, quote, unquote, excuse the expression, black ladies, the bed wench, you know, she's just there, you know, to be a breeder. Yes, it is, because, like I said, if you take a old broken down NGR Shabaka, who's lost half his teeth, who's over 60, well, we'll sell this Negro for about $50. Okay, let me see. We'll get Brother Ramel and the former heavyweight champ. Okay, you gentlemen in your 40s. Okay, we'll give about $150 for you, Cat. But the black woman, oh, she's 16 years old. $2,500.
And they've been violating her for a long fucking time. Long time violating the black woman.
Violating her
in all sorts of manners, not giving her no choices on who she could procreate with or not. They stole her, they raped her, they violated her, they bred her, they bred her, bred her, bred her, bred her, and then humiliated her, and then tortured her, and then continuously badgered her all the way up until today's age. You know what I mean? And this is a horrible tragedy.
Well,
it's like, you can't expect
them not to be angry. Okay, ma'am, this is why I says about Hollywood what I say. It's because I grew up in that raggedy-ass town. I've seen it all, you know what I mean? And then and she goes up there and do those quote-unquote alternative films to make her audition, you know what I mean? And, and I appreciate the people who are trying to become actors, actresses, just like Cicely Tyson, that I'm reading her book called Just As I Am, and may that queen rest in power, because she refused to degradate herself like that. The same thing with Ms. Ruby Dee, the wife of Ozzie Davis. She refused to do that. Mm-hmm. And Lord knows we can't give enough salutes to Ms. Nina Simone and Ms. Eartha Kitt.
Right, Brother Shibaka.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got a statement for the champ. Champ, just so you know, I'm a political prisoner. I'm currently incarcerated, and I have a cellmate, and he's a Hebrew, and he has a verse that he wanted to share with you real quick. Hold on real quick.
Let's turn.
Yeah, so in the Old Testament, Moses was given a law by the Lord that says, if a man stealeth a man and sells him, he shall surely be put to death. And this is something that, you know, I often read, you know, that blows a lot of people's mind, especially, you know, the slave master. But another one that I was just reading says this: thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of your brethren or of the strangers that are in the land within your gates. At his day you shall give him his hire, meaning his pay, neither shall the sun go down upon it, meaning he shouldn't have to wait till the next day before he gets paid or whatever, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. So I just wanted to share that with y'all.
The thing of it is people don't understand slavery is in the Bible, but it's not chattel slavery. It's indentured servitude. And the indentured servitude says that you can own slaves, but after 7 years, you have to let them go or give them the option to renew. But what they did